News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Now, the Fine Gael National Conference is taking place this weekend in Wexford. The opening address this evening, with the Taoiseach addressing the nation, because it is going out live on television on Sunday. Joining us on the line is Minister for Health, Simon Harris, who, of course, will be addressing the conference himself. Minister, good morning. You're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Ciarán. Good morning.
Before we talk about the conference itself, I just want to bring up an item that we covered in the show a little bit earlier this morning. Chris Bellew, a listener who got in touch about ambulance waiting times. His neighbour had fallen and broken his hip. They called an ambulance. He couldn't move off the spot on the side of the road. He was 2.5 hours waiting, and it was in Beaumont, which, correct me if I'm wrong, there's a fairly major state hospital just down the road. It seems remarkable that he had to wait that long.
Absolutely. I've just been listening to your coverage of the story this morning, Ciarán, and it does indeed seem remarkable and goes without saying utterly unacceptable. I suppose this is no consolation to that poor gentleman for the situation that happened. I do need to make the point, though, it's clearly not the norm. I've just been looking at the response times in general for the National Ambulance Service and Dublin Fire Brigade in Dublin, where the target response time is 18 minutes and 59 seconds from the emergency call being placed. But certainly I'm going to be asking questions in relation to this situation, which is utterly unacceptable. We do have a situation in Dublin where we obviously have the Dublin Fire Brigade call centre and the National Ambulance Service call centre. And there is, I think, a need for it to look at how better cooperation can take place between those two call centres. And does it make sense to have two separate call centres? This is an issue we've been working our way through with Dublin Fire Brigade and Dublin City Council for some time. But obviously what happened to Mr. Bellew's neighbour is unacceptable, but genuinely not the norm across Dublin or indeed the country.
Can I ask you about Brexit again before we come to the conference, just because this is the big news story of the day as well for a lot of people. I'm sure there'll be a sense of relief amongst you and your colleagues, certainly that this day week, the UK won't be crashing out of the EU. The can has been kicked a little down the road. It is still a little fuzzy what happens after that, though, isn't it?
Yeah, well, look, I think what happened last night can only be welcomed by Ireland and by Irish people. The cliff edge that was next Friday, let's not forget next Friday, Britain was due to leave the European Union and currently was due to leave without a deal because of the impasse in Westminster. More time has now been provided to the British Prime Minister to try and, I suppose, get the House of Commons to agree a way forward. I think it's fair to say the House of Commons has voted on many occasions to outline what it's not in favour of. So it said it's not in favour of leaving without a deal. It's not in favour of this. It's not in favour of that. What they now need to clearly do is articulate what they are in favour of. And I suppose what the European Council did yesterday was it did ratify the agreement that the British Prime Minister agreed with Jean-Claude Juncker in Strasbourg last week, which does provide her with more legal assurances. From an Irish perspective, I very much welcome the fact that it also made very, very clear that there can be no changes to the withdrawal agreement. I think that's absolutely in our national interest. But there is now a window of time, but that's all there is. And it's very much now the ball back in Britain's court. The British Prime Minister has indicated her intention to take this back to the Commons again. And I suppose there's a two-week window here. If she can pass the deal within 2 weeks, there's more time now for an orderly Brexit to take place at the end of May. And if not, she'll have to come back to the European Council before the 12th of April with alternative plans. So I think the extra breathing space is to be welcomed. But that's all it is. And as a result, we need to continue to prepare for a no-deal Brexit. And the Taoiseach and indeed the Taoiseach are leading on those efforts.
In terms of the conference then taking place this weekend, I mentioned it wrapping up with the Taoiseach's address on Sunday evening. You yourself are addressing the conference on the issue of women's healthcare, prioritising women's health in Ireland. And I'm struck that that address from you is coming in the week, of course, of Laura Brennan's awfully sad passing from cervical cancer. And lots of people listening to the show, lots of women are on waiting lists that are long and getting longer, that backlog. Is that the type of prioritising you're talking about, prioritising those women?
Yeah, look, I suppose in recent years, we've thankfully shone a spotlight on women's health. Issues that we hadn't discussed in this country for a long period of time are now being discussed. And the fact that a major political party is now placing the issue of women's health firmly at the centre of its conference, I think, is to be welcomed. I made the decision that we need a women's health action plan to specifically look at issues relating to women. It's not lost on me that many of the scandals in the Irish Health Service have related to women, and particularly women's reproductive organs as well. So I'll take the opportunity to outline to the conferences where I want to see our country go in relation to cervical cancer. I believe we can make huge progress, as other countries have, in terms of reducing incidences of cervical cancer. I'll be paying tribute to the wonderful Laura Brennan, a woman I got to know very well, and her campaign in relation to vaccination. Also things like IVF, contraception, things like how we improve our maternity services. So this year I want to create a Women's Health Action Plan. I want to have a real and meaningful conversation with women right across the country as to what they want in that plan. So this can be a woman-centred plan that's owned by the Women of Ireland. And I'm very grateful to have the chance to begin that conversation tomorrow.
Will you be in a position tomorrow, say for example, to let people know when HPV testing will be rolled out on a wider basis? Because obviously this was announced. September last year, and the latest is that we're not in a position to do it because of that backlog that's getting longer and cervical smears.
It's still my intention that HPV testing would be introduced this year, but I actually think we can do better than that, Ciarán. If you look at other countries, if you look at Australia, if you look at New Zealand, they've effectively eradicated cervical cancer. We have a cancer in Ireland that we can make extraordinarily rare if we move to HPV testing.
Do you think that HPV testing should extend down to 20-year-olds? Because I know that has been done in other countries, and I see today the HSE pushing back a little on that, saying, look, there's not that strong evidence for that.
Yeah, you see, I think all of these things have to be done on the basis of the medical advice, and the medical advice currently is not in favour of that. But what the medical advice does very clearly say is if Ireland becomes one of the first countries in the world to introduce HPV testing, if we expand the HPV vaccine to boys, which we're going to do in September, and if we really push back against the misinformation, the nonsense and the downright lies that are being propagated against the HPV vaccine, we can really, really, really reduce the rates of cervical cancer in Ireland. So obviously that's one of the issues I'll be talking about, but also others. I'm not satisfied that we don't provide financial support to couples trying to have a baby through IVF. We're outliers in this regard. Most countries in the European Union now do this. I want to see progress on that this year. I want to bring forward the Assisted Human Reproduction Bill so we can regulate the whole area of IVF. I also want to look at issues in relation to contraception, how we make sure that there's wider availability of contraception, and indeed that cost isn't a barrier as well.
All right.
And our maternity service as well. So we have a very ambitious agenda here. Last year we made progress in a number of issues in relation to women's health and women's rights, but that journey very much continues, and that's the conversation I want to have this weekend.
There will be an extent this weekend of rallying the troops, of course. There's elections around the corner, local and European elections. You still gagging for a general election yourself?
I'm never gagging for a general election. What I'm really gagging for, I suppose, is getting on with the big body of work we have. I think we now have a sense of certainty that this government will continue in office until 2020. That's certainly the intention of the Taoiseach. I heard the Leader of the Opposition reiterate his view on that yesterday. But there's a big body of work to do. Brexit's obviously the priority, but there's a lot in the domestic agenda as well, and our conference will be looking at both.
All right. Minister for Health, Simon Harris. Minister, thanks a million for speaking to us.